Welcome to the Council of Moms. I hope you're watching us on YouTube. Maybe you're listening to us on Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. But if you want to see what we look like as we are talking, jump on over to YouTube and leave us a comment and let us know where you're watching from. We love to connect because that's exactly what the Council of Moms is all about. See, kids, mom has friends, and we talk about stuff. That is the purpose of Council Bond. Just kidding. No, it's really to have a safe place to talk about the things that you're worried about, concerned about, without any judgment and with people who are in the game too. Maybe in a different way. Maybe they have kids who are older than you, younger than you, different than you. It doesn't matter because when we come together, we're here to support each other. No judgment. So here today on the Council of Moms, I have
Dainalyn Condi.
And what I wanted to ask everybody is, like, what kind of mom are you? Like, I was telling these ladies right before we started filming that, like, I'm the kind of mom that pretends or thinks that on some level she's like, whatever, easygoing, like, go with the flow. But inside, I really am not. I'm always fighting against the, we need a schedule and I need to know what's happening and what's the plan. So that's the kind of mom I am. What kind of mom are you?
So I'm a mom of adult children. And I would just say that I feel like I'm an intentional mom that hugs a lot. Oh. Like, actually, my kids warn their friends, like, when you come to my house, you will get a Mama Condi hug. And so I would say I'm a hugging, intentional mom.
Okay, good
to know. Of adult children.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go.
Thanks.
I'm a Latina mom of four, and I think I'm very loving. I give a lot of affection. So I grew up like that, and I kiss them a lot. At the point they say, stop. Right. So I'm that kind of mom that needs to make them feel loved by touching them, hugging them, kissing them. Very protective mom. Trying to adjust how the mom in the country is with a little bit giving more freedom. And I'm the other way. Like, I just don't, I have to be careful how I let them do things. You know, my nine-year-old says always, you don't let me do anything. You don't give me freedom. And I'm like, well, what is freedom? What do you want to do?
Yeah,
I want to go
to
the park by myself. Like, no, sweetie, I'm sorry. I can't. I am very protective.
Well, we're glad you're here, Daniela. And then finally, we also have...
I'm Brittany Phillips, and the kind of mom I am is the... I am a mom who is constantly challenged.
I think we can all relate to that.
I always think I know the right thing, and then it seems like life just keeps throwing things. I'm like, oh, maybe that's not the right way to do it. So the mom that's constantly learning.
I like that. We are all learning. I'm so glad that you're here for this particular question. This is part of a different kind of questioning that we have on the Council of Moms. Sometimes we get people who write in specific questions, but today I'd like to ask you a broad question that is actually just the combination of many questions that we get, and it's in our sort of how-to series. So how do I help my kid with depression, anxiety, and mental health issues? So as a mom, what is our role? How do you help your kid with mental health issues? Who wants to start?
I'll jump.
Please.
So this is a subject I care deeply about, and I've worked pretty intentionally in this field the last decade. I lost my 40-year-old sister 10 years ago to suicide, and I have a minor in psychology and a teaching degree. But it's interesting that professionally I can have this conversation a lot, but when it's the people that I birthed.
Right. When it's your kids, it's different.
It's complicated. And we have really normalized mental health conversations in our family. We did before Meg died, but for sure the last 10 years, we've made it a very open, continual conversation. It's not just a one and done or when there's a red flag or when there's a crisis. But I think one of the things that we need to understand, I think from all the moms out there at different stages, is that mental health is a really broad term. So if you have a child that's dealing with OCD, the intervention and support would look really different than if you have a child that's dealing with some depression that may be low grade. So they look like they're functioning, but maybe they're isolating. And then on the flip side of that, if you're dealing with some neuro differences, which we deal with in our family, whether it's ADHD or spectrum issues, that can create ripple effect in other kinds of mental health areas. And so I would just say, depending on the stage of life, it's been more challenging doing to support my kids and their mental health once they're not like sleeping in their room and I get to lock the door every night. So I think adult parenting over that specific stewardship can be a little more complex. But I would just say the first thing we've tried to really do is mental health is just like an everyday conversation. It's health. And so either you're dealing with it or you're supporting someone that's wrestling with it. That's everybody. And when you frame it that way, especially the dads out there, I know this isn't Council of Dads, but I really love when my husband is meeting with a therapist or a coach and he's sharing with coworkers and his kids about his journey, because it changes the conversation in their minds when they see dad addressing mental health. And so I think as women and as moms, we can celebrate, especially the men, when they want to have this conversation or they want to talk about what they're doing to get support, like praise on that, because we need to celebrate, especially when men are willing to address it.
Everybody's got to be involved in it.
Yeah.
And to speak openly is about that. What about when your kids are younger? What do you guys do?
With my 9-year-old, he was diagnosed with ADHD since he was 6 years old. The teacher would say that he was just moving too much. He can, after recess, he was just too active. And I'm like, he's just six. But anyway, I try to lead by example. So I'm very into, you know, doing sports and things that keeps them healthy. So I usually have my son doing like soccer. And then when he's done with that, basketball. And I think sports is the healthiest way to help kids with the mental health issues. And, you know, you find healthy supplements here and there. And I also know, and I think people is talking more about it now, that your gut is your second brain.
Yeah.
So apparently years ago, the issue was in your brain and you get medication, which I think there's a place and a time for it. But I think now people is more into this holistic way to fix your body and heal you from the inside out. So as you help your gut, which is where the maybe 70% of the problem comes from, all your hormones, your happy hormones, all the stress, all these things come from your gut. So I try to do healthy stuff as much as I can, avoid like, you know, sugar as much as I can and things that just triggers that anxiety, because
I love that we're talking about the connection between mental and physical health and not like just siloed as like separate. You know, that they are connected, and it's changed the way that I talk to my kids. Most of my kids are teenagers or adults. Well, all of them are. And talking about like ongoing health. So are you getting enough sleep and water? Have you been exercising? Are you getting sunlight? That kind of gut health. Like, what are you eating? Have you gone to the doctor to have your mental health evaluation? And that kind, those kinds of conversations, knowing that everything's connected. Are you seeing friends? Are you isolating yourself? Are you sleeping too much or not enough? Like, all of those conversations have to do with mental health.
Yeah, right. This is something that we've dealt with in our family, too. And, you know, having teenagers and younger kids in elementary school, we almost kind of take the same approach. I'm a little better now with my younger kids having the conversations because I got to practice with my older kids.
But, it's the first pancake, right? I tell my
I know.
Sorry.
I feel a little bad. But having those same type of conversations that you're saying, Lisa, like, have you gotten out in the sun? Have you had too much screen time? Are you getting rest at night? Are you connecting with actual human beings? Or are you just chatting with your friends on your phone? Or like, what is your day-to-day looking like? And let's see if we can make some little tweaks here and there.
Yeah.
But we've also had to like seek help from professionals at other times too. And I think that's absolutely fine if that's something that needs to be done. And you can get creative, like talking about gut health, but there are also other different ways. I want to call it creative, but different ways, not just taking medication. There's, you know, physical therapy type things. And anyway, music therapy is something we've actually tried.
One of my daughters has done art therapy. Okay. And it's been really great.
Yeah. So anyway, I just think look outside the box. It doesn't have to be just medication or none or whatever. There's other options out there too.
And, you know, it's interesting because we're all talking about, just keeping the conversation open. But we all know that when you're struggling with mental health or your kid is, and especially a teenager, I'm sorry, sometimes they're not going to give you the best information because they don't know what they need. And I think that's a hard part and a kind of a really lonely part of being a mom is when your kid, you realize that your kid is really struggling and it's serious that you need to, that you need help. Outside help. That's a hard feeling for a mom. It was for me.
Our community just had a 16-year-old boy die by suicide. And I was brought in to speak in some community events for that. And the constant question was like, well, there weren't signs. We didn't know the signs. And I don't think that's a really effective question to ask. I think for this Council of Moms topic specifically, I would just like to put a big exclamation point. Obviously, if someone that you love is showing some signs of withdrawal or not functioning, you address that.
Obviously.
But if we just make an assumption that like all of us need therapy, whatever that looks like, because it's education and we all deal with our mental health every single day, if we just normalize that and stop making about who's in trouble or what are the signs, I think it's much more effective for the days in which it may get to an emergency level, because your kids and your family and your friends know, wait, this is just a normal part of what are we binge watching on Netflix? What's our favorite restaurant and how's our mental health? Like that's really one of my favorite tools is to do a group text with our kids and just say emoji check-in. Because there's like 9,000 emojis, and so it's not just happy, sad,
and mad. But if you didn't
come
from like a family culture of that, that's hard to start.
But you can
don't
start
you
it now. Like you can say, I was listening to Council of Moms. It's so great. Share it.
Yeah.
Blame us. Like blame us if all of a sudden you're starting a text chat with emoji check-ins on your mental health. Like blame us that you heard this conversation. And you know when there's a crisis in a community, in a school, in a church community, in a family, then that feels like, well, obviously we're going to have this conversation, but
that's
what about
such a good
any
point.
Given Wednesday? Yeah. Any given Wednesday, I can wake up and I will tell my kids pretty honestly now that they're adults especially, but even when they're kids, mom's struggling today. Like if we want our kids, as you were saying, Lisa, to be honest with us, which obviously some kids are not as flexible with that because they don't want us to take over and fix it and stress out. Mm-hmm. But if they see that you as the adult is saying them, hey, you know what? I'm having a hard day. I'm not sure what I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. Instead of making it happy, sad, or mad and only crisis response, just normalize it every single day. Because any given Wednesday, I could just be not doing great, you know?
That's so interesting because that's how you could change the, you know, the sort of family culture of going in. One thing that's been really, really hard for me as a mom is to recognize that sometimes my kids need help and they don't want to let me down. They don't want me to be sad. They don't want to add to like my stress, even though I'm like, no, you're the most important person. Like all that other stuff doesn't matter. You're it. It doesn't. Sometimes someone else has to help them, that it's not you. And that's been hard for me to sort of admit, but then to allow that to happen. And sometimes that's a family friend, and sometimes that's a therapist, and sometimes, you know, it's just another trusted person in their life. But the, I don't know, that's sort of a trick. That has been a hard thing for me.
Yeah.
And I think it's not just anxiety, which most kids are struggling, but also depression. And I have a teenager struggling, which is hard because she doesn't live with us. So she's 10 hours away.
That's
and it's
hard.
Hard for us to, how can we help her from here? We don't know what she's, again, eating. She's not doing sports. Like, what are her friends? Like, we don't know anything, right? I also think that it's important to communicate with our kids. So I want to help with their mindset and make it bulletproof. So whatever the society throws at them, they are okay. And constantly talking to them, you're amazing, you can do great things, you know, just reminding them how amazing they are the way they are. My stepdaughter, she used to say that she was depressed and she started having these, she felt self-conscious about the way she looks because of little comments. And especially when you're a teenager, that's something that can be so, so hard. Mm. So I will say that, just making sure that you communicate with them. Mm-hmm. And some kids won't talk to you, you know. Some kids might hear things that they won't hear from you from a stranger or somebody else. And that's how it is even with your husband. But it's very important to just talk to them and let them know that they can trust you. I always tell my 9-year-old, we're best friends. I'm not just your mom. We're best friends. And best friends don't lie to each other. Best friends are honest and you can trust me, you know? And he feels like he can.
Yeah, well, that's good. Yeah, to establish that.
I like to help my kids normalize that, like, sometimes we have hard days and sometimes we are sad. And then, like, what can I do when I feel that way? What, how can I shift it myself? Or, like, you know, just give them some strategies and some tools for when they feel that. Because we all feel that way. We're going to have highs and we're going to have lows. And so I will tell my daughters, sometimes when I'm sad, I like to go on a walk. And sometimes my body doesn't really want to go on a walk. My brain is like, I'm not getting off this couch. But I force myself to do it because I know that that's going to be the thing that can help shift, make the shift for me. And sometimes I just need a hug. And sometimes I just need, you know, like, give them some things to try.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just need to get it out. Sometimes you, modeling that, I think, is really grateful. I've been trying to suggest a gratitude journal for all my kids. I'm laughing because, like, it works for me. And the science is there, you guys. If you read neuroscientists, life coaches, therapists, everybody subscribes, spiritual leaders, gratitude journal, gratitude. Like, everybody agree. It's like nobody agrees on everything. But they do agree on gratitude. What have I been telling my kids for like 25 years?
Yeah. Doesn't work.
You guys, here's a journal. Weird. You know what I do? You should do, you know? And I tell them about how it's really great. None of them do it.
But I will say this. Lisa.
But I want them to think about it. Maybe they'll think it in their heads.
I was thinking about that right before you gave that example that, like, I'm kind of to the point on the trail, and we both have adult kids, where I've watched my children. I've had the same conversations for years and years and years, and I have two. So I have a boy and a girl. And especially with my 26-year-old son, like, he's incorporated things that I was like, he was totally tuning me out. But then my 20-year-old daughter, I know the other day she shared something that someone else told her, and I had to bite my tongue because I was like, oh, wow, that's fabulous advice.
Oh, your friends thinks this?
Wow.
This thing that I have told you for years.
Wise thing.
For years?
Yeah. And she just was in a perspective that she could see it. And I would also say, too, of, like, watching my own kids, like, both my kids going to college and moving away and doing those things, it was a struggle on their mental health. But I would say I've also watched them build that fortification within themselves that they didn't even know they could do it. And it's such
That's
a scary
so
thought
rewarding.
For moms to think, are we pushing our kids? I've always worried. Like, I don't think that line ever goes away where you're like, is this pushing too hard? Or is it pushing just enough to help them grow?
I am on that line
all the
every
time,
day
all the time
of
from
my life.
From the moment you're trying to sleep train them to the moment you watch them trying to be adults.
Too much.
Yes. Yeah. Wait, cry too long? Should I go da da da? Oh, you fell down. Should I rush to you? Should I not rush you? Oh, wait, help you with your homework. Don't help. Get
and
a
don't
tutor.
Worry, society's gonna tell you that everything you do is wrong.
Yeah.
So that'll help.
Yeah. Or that it changes 10 years later. Like, well, we were doing the best we could with the information we had.
Right.
So I would just say it's funny to watch my adult kids pick up things that I'm like, oh, I know I've said that for like 15 years. But I'm glad it finally makes total sense to you because you saw it on TikTok. Whatever.
Fabulous.
And I think that even they, I always tell my kids, the intention which you get up every morning is going to set up the whole day for you. So if you wake up with that bad attitude, my friend, I'm sorry, but your day is going to go like
You'll
that.
You'll find it.
So this is what has worked for me personally as a mom, which I have a struggle with anxiety. Working out works for me early in the morning. I'm an early bird. I need to go and do high fitness at 6 a.m. And when I'm back home, I'm ready, you know, to roll.
It sets your mind
in my
for
mood,
the intention.
My energy is just amazing. So you're not going to ask your kids to do that at 6 a.m, of course. But
Or your 53-year-old. Oh.
Well, I hate that it works.
Whatever works for you. I mean, some people just like to go on a walk. Some people like to do meditation, you know, very early in the morning. Whatever you can do to start your day with a good attitude is going to, you know, help you throughout the day. So telling your kids, being grateful for whatever, you know, every day is a great example of that. Or just saying, how do you want the day to go today? You want to go to school having a good attitude. You're amazing. You can do it. You're awesome. Be kind. You know, all these things. It helps. And I say that to my kid every day when I drop him off. Like, you're amazing. You know, you are just awesome. And you're kind. Just be helpful. Like, and he comes back when I pick him up and his day was great. So,
yeah. setting that. I think our voices get in their heads, you know?
Yeah, it does.
So it should be positive and encouraging and, you know, the things we point out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like to, sometimes when I drive my kids to school, I'll turn on some affirmations. And I used to think, I laugh because I used to think affirmations were a joke.
Like on Saturday Night Live.
That's not going to help just to like say these words. It's not going to fix my life. But I realized that those words are the words that get in your brain and they become your beliefs, and your beliefs are like the things that shape who you are. And so I'm like, I play the affirmations. I control my own happiness. Today's going to be an amazing day, right? Those types of things. And that's how we start our day. And I'd say I play it for them, but I'm playing it for me too. Yeah. So.
You mean we have to practice what we preach?
Yeah, you lead by example, you know?
I know.
If they see you all day in a mood or depressed, most likely they'll be like, what's going on, Mom? Like, you know, I feel the same way. But if you're just energetic and let's do this, this is a great day. And sometimes it's not a great day for me. And still I put on my smile because I just don't want it to be like a perfect day. I agree with you when you said I can tell them, I should be able to say it's not a good day, mm-hmm. you know? But I'm like... Somehow I'm like, I don't know if that's going to make them feel like that, you know?
So yeah, you don't want them to think it's a sort of all or nothing. I remember one time my daughter came home. She was like 6 or 7, so pretty and some young, right? And something bad had happened at school. I think she didn't get to play what she wanted to at recess or whatever, and she was complaining about it. And she threw her backpack down, and she's like, 2016 is the worst year of my life. And we were like, wow, it's not even the worst day or the week. It's the worst year. And I remember we just thought, this is wow. That's pretty intense.
She didn't know 2020 was coming.
Well, actually, to be fair, 2016 did end up being the worst
year. Oh, it was?
But she didn't know that. No, but we laugh about that, though, because... How often are we like that, though, too, mm-hmm. where you're like, everything is wrong? And I've tried to teach my kids that something horrible can happen in the day, but it doesn't mean the whole day's ruined. Like, it just means, like, that 10 minutes or that hour or whatever. Like, you could still turn it around, you know.
Right. My husband TV totally had to teach me that. He totally, you know? Like, where I came from in a family culture and he came from a family culture, he would constantly be like, the day is not over. Like, I'd get to, like, noon or it had unraveled in some way. And he's like, the day is not over. And
you could still have steak for dinner.
Yeah.
I mean, anything could happen.
Exactly. And I'm like, 33 years later of marriage, I'm like, okay, I hear him like, you're right. The day's not over. It's not over. And we don't know what our kids are going to have to navigate in the future. Yeah. And so sometimes as a mom now, like you said about yourself, my son said to me, you weren't the helicopter parents. You were the bulldozing parents. Oh. So we would just go ahead of him on the trail and like, oh, there's a rock. Let's just bulldoze it. And we won't helicopter. You can do it. But we want to get every rock off the road. Oh. And so as I've watched my kids have to face their own blocks in the road, I'm inspired by how they've navigated certain things, but also for them to come back and say, you know what, Mom? We watched you do that too. And at the time, it feels like as a mom, there's nothing getting through. It's not being effective.
You don't know. There's no like guessing and checking. Like, did you get this lesson?
It's marathon.
Wait, did I tell you or is that your older sibling? I can't remember.
Exactly, exactly. And so I would just say, I'm starting to have those Sunday dinner conversations where they share a memory and I'm like, wait, you heard me? Oh, that was your happiest memory?
Be cool, be cool. I'm always like, be cool.
I know. You hid in a closet and I was not the trip to Disneyland. That was your happiest memory is chasing in the backyard? Wait, I didn't even have to pack y'all up and take you on vacation? Like, it's just the funniest thing of what we think when we're in the trenches and
have a little
this is a marathon, right? It's not a sprint. Not a sprint. Our mental health's not a sprint. Mm-hmm. It's a one day at a time conversation, in my opinion.
Totally. Yeah. Well, we are out of time, but I just want everybody to have like a final word on like mental health. You're sitting around with your girlfriends. We're all struggling with different mental health issues with our children, but what's your best advice or your best takeaway?
I think the thing that I've done to help my kids the most is help take care of myself first. Mm. As I am healthy in my mental health, doing my daily things to keep myself in track,
that has benefited my kids more than anything else that I've done. So,
oh, well said.
I'm giving you a high five across.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will say the same. Taking care of myself first, it's something that helps a lot. And just trying to be kind and understand them. And I am, at least with my kids, they respond better out of love than trying to discipline. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when I come on my knees and just kind of like at the same height, you know, and just say, I understand how you're feeling. I get you. That's when you validate their feelings. Mm-hmm. That's the best you can do so they can feel better. And then they open up themselves and talk to you more.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, that's really good.
I would just say that for me, therapy is education, and has, I think Brittany shared this perfectly, that therapy is a really broad term too, and Daniela also, right? So if you make it a culture of education, everyone wants more education. And so inviting your kids and doing by example, so showing them by example that you're getting support in these different ways and then celebrating what you found that worked. I think when you celebrate that, then it's an ongoing life journey of mental health and getting education and support instead of crisis management per se, or we only talk about that when something really hard is happening. That it's an ongoing, we don't eat once and don't eat all week. So every day I wake up, every day I have to check in with my mental health. And every day I'm finding new tools to help. And so this kind of conversation, I think, is just one way, like blame us to start the conversation in your own family. Blame us.
Totally. And I think I would just end by saying have the uncomfortable conversations. There's a reason why people don't talk about mental illness sometimes. It's
hard.
Uncomfortable. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then it's something that you have to address and look at and fix, but just pushing through that initial uncomfortableness, like I feel like it really brings you closer together as a family and contributes to their health in a meaningful way. So absolutely. Thank you for having this discussion with me. Thank you for being on the Council Moms. Thank you. Please leave us a comment. Let us know what your perspective is. What do you do to help your mental illness in your family, whether it's with your kids or yourself? We'd love to hear from you on YouTube. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks.